We have the opportunity to hear the Word of God. Ben Rasnick is going to bring the Scriptures to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. If you open your Bibles, we will consider that text. And let's pray for our brother as well as he comes to bring the Word of God. Father, what a glorious theme that we can sing the song of the Lamb. That we can say, hallelujah, praise our God because of the Son. Lord, because all that He is endears all that You are to us. And all that He has done brings all that You have to us. And so having Christ, we have all. Oh, Father, thank You as we continue to worship. Thank You that we can hear the Word of God. Thank You for Ben, and thank You for his willingness to minister. Thank You for the study, the time that he spent. God, we ask that You would give him much grace, much joy as he speaks Your truth. And Lord God, give us much joy and much humility and much eagerness in the reception of it. We thank You that You call us constantly to Yourself. Lord, we thank You for the commands of Christ, even that which we see in the text here, to abide in Him. Oh Lord, may we be encouraged toward that end. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. Turn to John 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I think Mary Ellen had 18 in the bulletin. We're not going that far. So 1 through 8 of chapter 15 of the book of John. I am the vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean or pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is, as many of you are aware, this is the seventh and last of the Jesus' I am statements, sort of the cardinal points on a compass of who he is and what he declares about himself. You know those, right? I'm the bread of life. Right? I am what? I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the seventh one, of course, I am the vine. My Father, the vine dresser, I'm the vine. You're the branches. So what I've done here, there's lots of ways to divide this up, but this is the way I see it and organized it. Christ the vine, there's 4 points, if you're taking little notes tonight, these are the 4 points. Christ the vine, as declared, the objective facts. The second one, Christ the vine, as a warning. Don't be a sap sucker and a fruit failure. Three, the third one, Christ the vine, his command. Paramount. Christ the vine, his command. Abide in me. Hold on like crazy. And 4, Christ the vine is an encouragement to our souls. We will bear even more fruit in our lives. And then finally, a little application. Now, the verses really are an application all by themselves, but we'll talk about them a little bit. So the first point, Christ the vine, his declaration. I am the vine. The Father is the vine keeper. And the second time he says it in verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. It's a metaphor, obviously. It symbolizes something that's true in spiritual reality, that's pictured well by a vine and its branches and its fruit and this vine dresser, this clipper that represents the Father. So there are really three persons in one product. And these three persons, of course, the Son, the vine, the branches, usins, and there's a couple kinds of branches. Then there's a third person who is the vine keeper, the clipper, the guy who tends the Lord, who tends to his vineyard. And then one product, which we'll talk about at the end, that product is fruit. The vine exists for a reason, right? To bear grapes, in this case. This would have been understood by the Jews and the folks of that time to be grape vines. I can think of lots of vines. There's a vine that sits in front of our house. I love it. It's all green. Mary Ellen, though, expects it to bear flowers. I don't care about the flowers. It's green and it puts a nice boundary. But it's expected to bear flowers in front of our house. In this case, it's expected to bear fruit. So the vine, in fact, the first time Christ says this, by the way, the nature of this vine is that it is the true vine. Of course, that implies that there's a lot of other vines that we can attach ourselves to, right? I am the real vine. I'm the true vine. It's so simple, and it conveys something about Christ. He's the vine functionally. It's a metaphor, as I've said before. There's no other vine like this vine. It is the central vine. It is the one good vine. And it's and so men will look for life-giving sap that comes from the vine to them, the branches, and all kinds of other stuff. We see it, right? We're surrounded by it. I'm tempted to get my life sap from the kudos of people and my job and things I love to do. Bike ride. I'm faster up the hill than you are. And so that kind of thing is where we tend to get. But that's just empty. And Christ says, no. I'm the true vine. Get your life-giving sap, your vitality from this. Isaiah 5, your homework tonight. Go back and read Isaiah 5. God planted a vineyard using Israel, and it was a gross disappointment. In this vineyard, he had placed a vat for the vine, for the grapes of the vine to come out and produce good wine. And it was a gross disappointment. But in this case, where Christ says, I'm the true vine, I am not a disappointment. I am your life-giving sap. The Father, the second person of this group, that's the gardener. In this vineyard, the Father is tending a choice vine, his Son, and his people, his branches, that will not disappoint as Israel did in old times in Isaiah 5. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. This is what the Father's function is. He tends to the health of his vineyard. In some sense, and we'll get to this in a couple minutes, in some sense, the outcome is guaranteed. It's fixed just by abiding, staying close. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear what? More fruit. You're already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. And then, of course, the third persons in this little metaphor, it's us, it's the branches. What is signified by being a branch? I mean, by the way, Christ is this, you ever seen a grape vine? The mature ones, they're pretty gnarly and earthy. They're tough and even hard to burn. I read that during the Peloponnesian War, as the hoplites would try to light fire to the vines around the Middle East, they really would, those and the great olive trees really wouldn't burn that much because they're so thick and so dense. So what's signified by being identified as a branch? If we are signified as branches in Christ's lingo, what is that? Well, obviously, the branches depend on the vine for life. What comes from the ground comes up through the vine to the branch, so the vine conveys life to the branches. They tend to be brittle and small, and they're a conduit between the vine actually and the fruit, and they get to bear the fruit. The branches bear the fruit, not the vine, not the central vine. What an honor. Think about that parallel, that metaphor. And then the final product, which is grape juice or wine that makes the heart glad, is the product that's expected out of this. And it's so different than the vineyard from Isaiah 5, which nothing came from it. But with this Christ, this one true fine stock, this one fine vine, it's now different. And then the fruit we'll address in a couple of minutes. So what's the meaning and the significance for this, of this vine branch analogy, and the father, the vine dresser. It's primarily relational. It's his relationship with us. Now, if I was going to ask you to illustrate, how would you illustrate the best relationship that you've had with anybody? What word pictures would you? Would it be a husband and wife for their mutual support and intimacy? Would it be two friends as they work together through issues and stand by one another, Dave and Jonathan? What would you use? I doubt that I would have used a vine and its branches because it's so unique, right? It implies an organic relationship. Very, very different. In fact, think of it this way. A company, a guy working for a company, that's an association. Man works for a company. There's no intimacy there. But in this case, it's incorporation over association. We're actually in the vine. We're taking life-giving sap from the vine. If anyone loves me, John 14:23, just a chapter earlier, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and, you know this, make our abode with him. Vine and branches. It's coming to the second point then. So there is an organic and intimate relationship that is really like no other. I mean, you can describe a husband and a wife. You can describe two friends. You can even say a mother, pregnant mother with her child in her womb. That's organic, but that's not necessarily so reciprocal. But in the case of Christ with us, it's wonderfully reciprocal, and we'll see that in a couple of minutes. So the second point, Christ has a warning. It's almost all good news. Every branch in verse 1, in verse 1 it says, I'm the vine, the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. In verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The branches, of course, represent two responses to Christ. One positive, one believing, and one non-believing. It's interesting to me that he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. There's obviously the fruity family, which bears fruit. And then there's the sapsuckers and the fruit failures. And these are taken away, thrown into the fire, separated by the vine dresser, by the Father. And what should concern me and should concern you is these appear to be people who are not going out to other vineyards looking for their life sap from other vines. These are people that are looking for their life sap near, in the orbit of Christ and his church. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit is taken away. John Gill says that these kinds of branches are branches by profession only. They submit to outward ordinances, become church members, and are so reckoned by us, I should add, Gildon says, but so reckoned to be in Christ. They remind me a little bit of somebody on a hot day near a swimming pool in Austin, Texas, you know, a hot, hot day there. And being near the diving board, hoping to get splattered with that nice cold water when people jump in the pool. How about just get in the pool? Believe, trust him. These seem to be people who are in the orbit of Christ, but never really touch down on planet Jesus. Never really have that intimate relationship, that life-giving sap. So how do we get in the pool? How do we land? Well, the third point then. Christ gives one command in these verses, right? Look at verse 4. Abide in me. It's not very complicated. Then there's a little added extra, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. We are to obey, I am to obey, the only command given in this section, abide in him. As you know, I like to bicycle ride, and when you ride with a stronger rider, which is just about everybody but me, I have to get on the wheel of a stronger rider, because what you do is you draft off of them. You can imagine that, right? You get in there tight, right up to the old wheel, and they people that don't want you there, they call you a wheel sucker. But what you're doing is the math shows that you're spending about 20 to 30% less energy by being behind that strong rider and letting him, you drafting off him, you're pulling. He's pulling you, I should say. And so the advantage you get is you get shelter, supply of energy. You're taking advantage of his energy or her energy, and you are protected. If you drop back very far, you're back on your own again. You know where my analogy is going. A friend of mine, C.J. Young, incredible writer. He can pull me easy. And his advice to me is, get on my wheel and hold on. And I know that's a crude way of saying an analogy to abide in me, but get on his wheel and hold on. It's with my mind. How do I do that, though? Really, I mean, in practice, my analogy is silly. But how do you do that in practice? What are the pieces and the particulars I have to employ to hold on to Christ's wheel or to abide in him? I mean, it sounds nice, abide in me. But what are the pieces? How do I do that? And it's with my mind, my heart, and faith, action by faith. It's perpetual closeness. It's not just a moment. I'll get up close to him and have a good Bible study this morning. It is a constant leaning, a constant passion to be near your Savior. Constancy. He is not far. He's promised us that. And that is good news to me. Turn back to him. Abide by consuming Christ. Here's a little for figurative language, pretty crazy figurative language, but good figurative language since it comes from our Lord. He gives us an illustration of abiding in him in John 6, 55 and 56. For my flesh is true food, and my blood, true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. This is consumption of Christ, another organic figurative language thing he said here. This is consumption, not merely reading about him. This is plugging in to the vine and getting his life-giving sap. Again, incorporation, not merely association with him. So at this point, we're probably going to be asking ourselves, what's my best source or guarantee or evidence that you are a lovingly pruned vine by the Father? What is the best evidence? Because, you know, I was talking to Rick a little bit about this. He pointed out, we're poor fruit inspectors. I'm not a good fruit inspector of my own works. First of all, I can be too skeptical of my own works, right? I know they're mixed works. I do my best to do the right things in Christ, but I know part of it's obedience and part of it is because, hey, I did that. You know, there's a little mixture every time I do something. On the other hand, so I can be skeptical of my own works. Then I can be too confident of my own works. Both of those are bad. I would say the answer to that is, how do I know that I am a lovingly pruned vine? Ensure I'm abiding in him. Stay close. Stay on his wheel. This is my best test, I think, is my best test and evidence for security. This is what it's saying to do here. Abide in him. Stay close. If I abide, by the way, I produce. If I don't abide, I don't produce. Right? Which brings us to our last point. Christ the vine, our encouragement. Christ the vine, our encouragement. He who abides in me bears much fruit. There's three times in these eight verses that our Lord says, you're going to bear even more fruit, you're going to bear much fruit. That's good news to me. I often don't feel like I'm very productive, but some of those things aren't necessarily seen by me. But he says, he who abides, stay close, he who abides in me bears much fruit. The outcome is fixed. Do you notice that? It is a surety. It's not, he who abides in me might bear more fruit if you put more energy into it. Now I want to give you some advice on how to put more energy and more success. He just says, he who abides in me bears much fruit. It's rigged in our favor. We bear more fruit guaranteed. Christ has genetically modified this plant. This is a GMO situation. I mean, what is our root and fruit by nature? Our root is not so good, and he's pointed it out in other places, and our fruit is not so, sour grapes, right? Nothing but sour grapes. But the Lord, in this case, is the genetically modified plant that feeds us his life-giving sap. The outcome is fixed, and the only way to infect it is to not abide. So it sounds great to bear fruit, but what is bearing fruit? I mean, bearing fruit is the purpose of the plant, right? The plant's there, just like Mary Ellen expects our vine to be producing little flowers of some sort. Christ expects his plant to produce grapes. And again, by nature, our fruit is sour grapes. Matthew Henry says, yeah, so what's the definition of good fruit coming out of us? What is that? Matthew Henry said, in a general description, this is not so specific, but it is general, and it gives us an idea. From a vine, we look for grapes. And from a Christian, we look for Christianity. This is the fruit, a Christian temper and disposition, a Christian life and conversation, Christian devotions and Christian designs. So Christ the vine, our encouragement. The outcome is wonderfully fixed by him. We're genetically modified to produce well. The benefits, there are some benefits. They're listed here. Look at them for a moment. Abiding kind of gives you a twofer. There's a couple things that happen when you abide. First of all, we're productive, which we've already talked about. And secondly, if we obey Christ, he reciprocates back to us. Abide in me, in verse 4, he says, and I in you. There's a little more to that. Abide in me, that is my responsibility. And I in you, it sounds to me like he's going to do that right back in return. That's not under my control, his abiding in me. But he voluntarily does that, and what a great gift. Second thing, here's another benefit. Askers become receivers in verse 7. Ask whatever you wish according to his word, and it will, he's not equivocating here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That is aligned wishing, word-aligned wishing, God's word-aligned. And then we manifest a connection with God. Wow. Easy to talk about, something to be pondered. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. We've talked a little bit about that. And so prove, give evidence to be my disciples. John 15:8 there. And then we glorify God, no minor thing, through our fruit bearing. We shine light off of the light of the world, one of his other I am statements. And then we get a joy. And I'm moving a little further down here in verse 11. Because he says now why he's saying all these things. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We get a joy infusion from Christ. What another great benefit. So, those four points. Christ the vine, as declared, it is a fact, something to be pondered. He is the vine. It's true in spiritual reality. Christ the vine as a warning. Don't be a sap sucker and a fruit failure. And then Christ the vine is command. Abide in me. Hold on to him. And then Christ the vine is our encouragement. We will bear even more fruit, guaranteed. The only thing I have to say by way of application are just two things. Know reality. Know it. Know that he is the vine, you're the branches. Know that I am to abide in him. Do that. Know that. That's a reality. Christ is the vine. Ponder what that implies. We have a fixed outcome. It's a fixed outcome in productivity of our lives for him. It's a fixed outcome in answer to prayer. It's a fixed outcome in glory to God through our living. It's a fixed outcome in joy infused by Christ. And the second thing I would say by way of closing this up is don't be a fruit failure. Don't just hang out in the orbit of our church. Abide in Christ. Get near him. Get on his wheel. Hold on to his declaration. He's the vine. We're the branches. Hold on to his word. Hold on to his disciplines. And hold on to his great encouragements, of which we heard many this morning. The outcome is sure. We simply hold on abide and obey. I like the way Ken Stiles said that. He took this whole section this morning. I had to smile when he turned us to, in Sunday school, to John 15, took the whole section, and he said, what's this mean? Obey him. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to abide in you. Help us to stay near to you. Help us to ponder your warnings and your realities. Help us to obey your command and to observe and be encouraged by your encouragements. In Christ's great name, amen.